نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فعن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال اعتزل ما يؤذيك وعليك بالخليل الصالح وقل ما تجده وشاور في أمرك الذين يخافون الله عز وجل أو كما قال رضي الله تعالى عنه رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وأزواجه وذريته. Most respected and honorable elders, my brothers and my young friends, the statement I had the honor of mentioning in front of you is the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala an. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was a great companion and sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of us, we may not know many of the sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, but each and every one of us, when we hear the name of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, then we know that this was one of the greatest companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just yesterday I was mentioning that Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the second khalif of Islam. The first being Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, second Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, third was Uthman radiyallahu anhu, and the fourth was Ali radiyallahu anhu. So from the four khulafa, the second khalif was Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. And in his time, Islam spread far and wide, very far and wide. Just as he was known for spreading Islam, just as he was known for being very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also known for his great advices. Advices that used to touch the heart, advices that were filled with farsightness and rare insight from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu used to say about Umar radiallahu anhu, إِنَّ السَّكِينَةَ تَنْتِقُ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرِ. That when it comes to the tongue of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, sakina and contentment speaks directly on the tongue of Umar radiallahu anhu. What does this mean? That sakina speaks, contentment, peace and tranquility speak on the tongue of Umar radiallahu anhu. This means that when Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is to say something, when he is to say something, then in the hearts you will find contentment. He gives advice, you have no doubt in regards to his advice. It brings contentment to the heart. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, two people quarrel and they come in the court of Umar radiallahu anhu, and he gives a verdict. Then no one has doubt in regards to that verdict of Umar radiallahu anhu in their heart. This was the profound statements and the effect of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he used to speak. So much so, the reason that the contentment, sakina, tranquility used to descend on the hearts of the people when he used to speak. One of the reasons is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions in the hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى جَعَلَ الْحَقَّ عَلَى لِسَانِ عُمَرَ وَقَلْبِهِ أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed haqq and truth on the tongue of Umar radiallahu an, in the qalb and in the heart of Umar radiallahu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed truth on the tongue and in the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. When an individual, he speaks, he wants to speak something, then before he speaks, the thought comes to the heart. From the heart, it goes to the mind. And from the mind, he then speaks, using his tongue. If there is haq in the heart, then that is what will come to the mind. And if there is haq in the mind, that is what will emanate from the tongue. And if there is batil and falsehood in the heart, then that is what will come to the mind. And that is what will emanate from the tongue. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is telling us in regards to Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu that no, when he speaks, he's speaking haq. Why? Because Allah has placed haq in his heart. That is what transfers to the mind, and that is what emanates from the tongue. Inna Allah ta'ala ja'ala al-haqqa ala lisani Umar wa qalbi. This is why in the books of ahadith, we will find incidents and waqiat where Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes with a mashwara. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he says, O Prophet of Allah, if only the hukam of the sharia was like this, if only you would advise your women folk with this, if only this was the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would turn to Umar radiallahu anhu and he would say, O Umar, the sharia is not based on my whims and desires. And nor can I add anything in the sharia and in the injunctions of the sharia and in the laws of the sharia upon your counsel. I cannot add anything to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because you like. You may be giving a good advice and I might like it. But until the hukam and the command doesn't come from Allah, I cannot add it in the sharia. What would happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would send Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam, and he would descend from the heavens, and the injunction of the sharia would be according to what Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had said. This was Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. This was the haq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed in the heart and on the tongue of Umar radiallahu. Amazing incident. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he calls for Umar radiallahu anhu. Because Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of the scribes and one of the katibina wahi, one of those individuals who was assigned by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to write down revelation when he used to come down from the heavens. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to send down verses of the Quran, then there were a few chosen individuals who used to write wahi, who used to write it down. Abu Bakr radiallahu an, Umar radiallahu an, Uthman radiallahu an, Ali radiallahu an, Muawiyah radiallahu an. These were all katibina wahi, the scribes who used to write down revelation when he used to come down. So once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam called for Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu an, he called for him that I need you to write down the revelation that has come down. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu comes into the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam starts reciting the verses and tells him to write down these verses. What are the verses? The verses of Suratul Mu'minun. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُضْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُضْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرَ فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the entire system that insan goes through and how insan is created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the gist of the verse that we created insan from a dirty liquid, from a sperm drop. And from that, we took him through different stages. And what is the end result? He comes out of the womb of the mother and you have a beautiful baby in front of you. The haqiqat and the reality of the Quran the haqqaniyat of the Quran, how true the Quran is, we can understand from such verses. Even non-Muslims, when they come across such verses, then they put down their weapons, they put down their pens, and they say that it is impossible that an individual 1400 plus years ago was able to tell what is happening in the womb of the mother. It's impossible when science has just come to know its reality 100 years ago. Khair, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is called. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam tells him, write down these verses. He's writing down the verses. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينَ ثُمَّ خَلَقْنَا النُطْفَةَ عَلَقَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْعَلَقَةَ مُذْغَةً فَخَلَقْنَا الْمُذْغَةَ عِظَامًا فَكَسَوْنَا الْعِظَامَ لَحْمًا. And then he reaches this part, portion of the verse, ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ ثُمَّ أَنْشَأْنَاهُ خَلْقًا آخَرٍ. That's it. He only heard till here from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As soon as he hears this, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu turns to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. How great is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How blessed is the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the best of creators. Who is the best of creators? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to Umar radiallahu anhu and he says, O Umar, this is the next portion of the verse. You didn't know, but this is the next portion of the verse. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ. This is the haqq that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had placed on the tongue and in the heart of Umar radiallahu anhu. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would speak, I was mentioning, then he would give very profound advices. From these advices, I had the honor of mentioning three advices of his in this statement. And these advices are such that each and every one of us should hang on to. I was just mentioning yesterday in the youth program to the youngsters, each advice is such that no matter what age group you fall into, each advice is such that if you do amal and practice upon these advices of Umar radiallahu an, then this will make your dunya, it will make your akhirah. It will bring you peace in your dunya, it will bring you contentment in the dunya, and it will be a means of your success and of you having contentment, peace, and tranquility in the akhirah and in the hereafter. What does he say? The first advice he gives, اعتزل عما يؤذيك, اعتزل ما يؤذيك. Distance yourself from everything that harms you. Distance yourself from everything that harms you. Amazing advice. And one thing I'd like to mention, that we should make it a point to take advice from our elders, from those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given farsightness and rare insight. We should make it our goal and objective to go and meet these individuals, and not just meet them but also take their advices. Advices that come from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the paragon of Allah's creation, the advices that emanate from the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the form of ahadith and prophetic statements. When we receive the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam through authentic and reliable sources, then we should make it our maqsad and objective that we practice upon these advices. When we receive advices from the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, those who benefited directly from the fountain of knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we receive advices from them, we should make it a goal and objective that we practice upon those advices. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they benefited directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They say in the English language that you recognize a tree from its fruits. You recognize a tree from its fruits. Because you can't taste the tree, but you can taste the fruits. If you take a fruit from a tree and it's bitter, then you will know that the value of the tree is not much. But you taste a fruit, you take a fruit from a tree, you taste it. and it's extremely sweet. It's extremely sweet. Then you will know the value of the tree, that the tree is very valuable. In the same manner, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum are the fruits of the tree of Nubuwwah that came in the form of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Each one of them benefited directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And each one of them brings to us guidance. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentions in the hadith, Ashabi kan nujum, my sahaba, my companions, they are like guiding stars. They are like stars. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِحْتَدَيْتُمْ Which one of them, from amongst them, whomsoever you decide to follow, they will guide you. They will guide you to the straight path. They will guide you to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the path to Jannah. In the olden times, in the previous times, when there were no GPS, there was no technology, then people, when they would travel, especially in the night, then they would use stars to guide them. They would follow a star or stars and they would know their path. And they would use these stars to come onto the right path and they would know that they are correctly being guided by these stars. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving us the example that my sahaba and the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum are like these guiding stars. Whichever sahabi and companion you follow, they will take you to the path of Jannah. They will take you towards the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بِأَيِّهِمْ اِقْتَدَيْتُمْ اِحْتَدَيْتُمْ This is why when we receive guidance, when we receive advices from the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum through authentic and reliable sources, then we should make it a maqsad and objective that we also practice upon those advices. After the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the tabi'een, those that met the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, benefited from the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. The tabi tabi'een that benefited from the tabi'een, the awliyaullah, the muttaqeen, the God-conscious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mufassireen, the muhaddithin, awliyaullah, the special friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we receive advices from each one of these groups, then we should make it an objective that we listen from the ears of our hearts. We open our hearts and we listen. And with a receptive heart, we accept those advices. Because those individuals and all these groups of individuals, they have gained success in this dunya and they have gained success in the akhirah. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends us to this dunya, He has sent us for a maqsad and for an objective. What is that? The objective and maqsad is, staying in this dunya, we make our akhirah. Staying in the dunya, we make our akhirah and our hereafter. Each individual from these groups, when they came to this dunya, they realized their objective. And when they came to this dunya, they gave preference to the akhirah over the dunya. They made the akhirah their objective. They understood the reality and the haqiqat of this world. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises such individuals two things. Two things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises these individuals. Number one, comfort in this dunya, comfort in the akhirah. This is number one. I'm choosing my words very wisely. Comfort in this dunya, comfort in the akhirah. Not resources of comfort in this dunya. Comfort in this dunya and akhirah. What does that mean? You may have an individual who is living in the most luxurious of mansions. You may have an individual who is sleeping on the most luxurious of mattresses and beds. He's lying down, but he's unable to sleep. He doesn't have that tranquility and comfort of the heart, contentment of the heart. And you have another individual, he may be lying down on the floor, or he may not have such a luxurious mattress as the other individual, but the comfort he has, it may be more than the other. It may be more than the other. Why? Because comfort, peace, contentment descends and comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot buy peace. You cannot buy contentment. You cannot buy comfort. That comes directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All you can buy is resources of comfort. But those resources of comfort don't guarantee you comfort. They don't guarantee you peace. They don't guarantee you contentment of the heart. So the first thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises these groups of individuals is peace, contentment, comfort in this dunya and akhirah. And number two, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to their mujahada, their hard work, their worship, their staying away from the disobediences of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, them giving preference to the akhirah over the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with farsightness and a rare insight. Farsightness and a rare insight. And when they speak and give advice, then they speak with that farsightness and that rare insight. And because they will be successful and they have become successful in the dunya and in the akhirah, those that follow and act upon their advices, they also gain success in the dunya, they also gain success in the akhirah. This is why whenever we receive advices from any of these groups, then we should listen attentively, listen with our hearts open, and we should accept these advices and practice upon these advice. Whether it's from the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam in the form of the verses of the Quran where Allah quotes the previous Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and their advices, or the advices of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or the advices of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, the Tabi'een, the Tabi Tabi'een, the Awliyaullah, each one of them, their advices are precious and we should listen to them. And we should act upon them. The Aslaf and our pious predecessors, they used to make it a point to go and visit individuals who are connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listen to their advices and bring these advices into their life. Ibn Abi Mulaika rahmatullahi alayhi, great individual, he says, great tabi'i, he says, adraktu sab'ina min ashabi rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I met 70 sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, companions. Khalid bin Ma'dan rahmatullahi alayhi, same. He says, I visited 70 sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. How? How? Because they made an effort. They went out of their way to, so that they could go and sit in their company, listen to their advices, hear the prophetic statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, hear their advices, so that they could bring that into their life. We should also make this our objective and maqsad, that we also visit the Ahlullah, those that are connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those whose hearts are brimming and their hearts are engulfed with the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, those who have deep knowledge of the Quran and Hadith, we should go and visit them, listen to their advices and bring those advices into our lives. It will turn our entire life around. It will bring contentment into our lives. It will bring peace into our lives. It will bring the deen and the sharia into our lives. And it will bring us success in this world and success in the akhirah and in the hereafter. Khair, I was mentioning the advices of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. So we should also listen to the advices of Umar radiallahu anhu with also much zeal, much shawq, with the ears of our hearts, with a receptive heart. The first advice he gives is, اعتزل ما يؤذيك. اعتزل ما يؤذيك. Distance yourself from everything and anything that harms you. اعتزل ما يؤذيك. Anything that harms you. An easy example, something could physically harm you. You have a snake, a lion, a scorpion, a wild animal, you will not come in front of it. You will not bring yourself close to such animals. Why? Because they will harm you. You know it's going to physically harm you. So what do? You distance yourself. You distance yourself. Why? So you save yourself from harm. اعتزل ما يؤذي. Anything that physically harms you, distance yourself. Anything that emotionally harms you, distance yourself. Anything that mentally harms you, distance yourself. Anything that religiously and spiritually harms you, distance yourself. اِعْتَزِلْ مَا يُؤْذِيكَ. You have friends, and it's time to study. And when it's time to study, then they will always call you towards playing video games. Or they will always call you towards playing outside. Now they are becoming a hindrance. They're always calling you towards futile activities, always. Then these friends are becoming a hindrance in your study. They're harming your educational life and your education. So what do? اعتزل. Distance yourself. Religiously, something harms you. You want to come to the masjid and your friend says, no, I don't want to go to the masjid. And he keeps you back, he holds you back. Or he always advises you on not going to the masjid. He always holds you back. Or you have a friend who is always engaged in the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's always calling you towards the disobedience of Allah. This is religiously harming you, spiritually harming you. What do? اعتزل. Distance yourself from everything and anything that harms you. In any form. Anything that harms you, anything that harms your honor. It's possible something is not harming you or someone is not harming you, but someone is harmful for your family, for your child, for your children. Then the result will be that when your child is harmed, then that will cause you taklif. It will cause you pain. And now it will harm you. So distance yourself. Anything that brings you harm in any form, you, your honor, your family, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, religiously, physically, anything that harms you, distance yourself. اعتزل. That's the first advice of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu. Second advice, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ وَقَلَّ مَا تَجِيدُ. وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ. Hold fast to a pious friend. Khalil in the Arabic language means very close friend. Jigri dost, we say in Urdu. Extremely close friend. Who should you make your extremely close friend? عَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ. A pious friend. Why? A pious friend will always call you towards the obedience of Allah. He will always call you towards the masjid. He will always call you towards the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, towards dhikr, towards the recitation of the Quran. When he is going to visit pious individuals, he will call you. They come with me. Whenever he carries out a good action, he will try to make you a part of it. وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ. Hold fast to a pious friend. And Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala himself says ahead, in his time, when he was Amir al-Mu'min, 1400 years ago, he is saying, وَقَلَّ مَا تَجِدُ. Very rarely you will find a pious friend. Very rarely. In his time. You can imagine, in our time it must be even more difficult. But it's not impossible. It's not impossible. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اِتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Different places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, O mu'mineen, O believers, adopt the quality of taqwa. Adopt God consciousness. Adopt the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah has given different methods to us that how we can attain this quality of taqwa. One of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be with the sadiqeen. Be with the truthful servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be with the muttaqeen. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. Be with the God-conscious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adopt their company. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to adopt the company of the pious. The ulama and the mashayikh, they mention that in every era and time you will find pious individuals. Otherwise, na'udhu billah, we will have to say that we cannot act upon a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let that happen. So in every time and era, you will find pious individuals. It may be difficult. You might have to go out of your way. But you will find pious individuals, and you should adopt their company, listen to their advice, and see how you can bring the deen into your life. So number two, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ وَقَلَّ مَا تَجِدُ. And number three, very important advice for all age groups, وَشَاوِرْ فِي أَمْرِكَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. That when you seek counsel, when you seek counsel, mashwara, then seek mashwara and counsel from those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their hearts. Why? Why does Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu say this? Because you have option A and option B. And you are in a situation that you cannot choose. That is this better for me or is this better for me? So you decide to seek counsel and mashwara. You go to an individual, but he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he doesn't fear Allah, you go and ask him, then he will not give you the correct mashwara. Why? Because he doesn't care. He doesn't worry. He doesn't have any worry that I have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I ruin his life, if I ruin his dunya, if I ruin his akhirah, then who is there to ask? He doesn't have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. He will give you any mashwara. He will give you any counsel and he won't care. But you go to an individual, he has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart. And you ask him, if he has the knowledge, and if he knows what is right, then he will tell you what is better for your dunya and akhirah. And if he doesn't, then he will tell you clearly, because he has the fear of Allah, that I don't know here, brother, I cannot tell you what is better for you. My advice to you is, go and speak to someone else. Someone that would be better for you is so and so individual, they will be able to guide you here. Why? Because they have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When an individual has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his heart, then he has the recognition and the understanding in his heart and mind that whatever I say to this individual, whatever I say to this individual, I'll be questioned for it tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. I may give him the wrong mashwara today, and I may do something that will harm him and might benefit me. But where will I go tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah? How will I escape Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah? So he will step back. He will step back. He will not give wrong mashwara. He will not give wrong counsel. So these are the three advices of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Amazing advices. Each one of us should hold fast to these advices. Number one, اعتزل ما يؤذيك. Distance yourself from anything, everything that harms you in any way. Number two, وَعَلَيْكَ بِالْخَلِيلِ الصَّالِحِ وَقَلَّ مَا تَجِدُ. Hold fast to a pious friend, and very rarely you will find one. And number three, وَشَاوِرْ فِي أَمْرِكَ الَّذِينَ يَخَافُونَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. In all your affairs, whether it's dunya, whether it's ukhrawi, whether it has to do with dunya, whether it has to do with deen and religion, in all your affairs, when you seek counsel and mashwara from those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost give me the ability to practice upon these advices, and then the rest of us. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallillahumma wa sallim ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.